and welcome back to another edition of the podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome. I'm your host, Shane Told. I talk to other lead singers on this program each and every week. Last week, we had a good one with Ricky Hoover of Sulfur. It's always funny saying that, of Sulfur. And we've got a really good one today. This band, I mean, they've been doing it for a while, but they got a new vocalist last year. He's here, and he is just something special. What a nice guy, and what a talent. I have not heard people do these kind of, I was going to say vocal gymnastics, but it's like vocal gymnastics, but scary. Lucas of Mental Cruelty is here, and this is just a great, great conversation. And yeah, man, this is just such an exciting time for the band. Hailing from Germany, coming over to the US for the first time, at least Lucas's first time as the singer, and about to turn heads because everyone is talking about their new album, which came out, I guess, in the summertime, called Zwielicht. I'll do my best with the German. It is tremendous. So yes, stick around for my conversation with him. I know you will. That's why you're here. I can't wait for you to hear it. But before that, I gotta let you know some information about the show. Maybe you like this show. Maybe you want to support it financially. Throw me a bone. I do rely on support for the show monetarily because it's free. It's free to listen to this. It always will be. So if you want to throw me a bone, check out the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club for as little as $6 a month. That gets you in, and that gets you a bunch of bonus episodes, bonus content, and more. Part of an awesome community. Shout out to my sinners worldwide. And yeah, that's it. Oh, the link. Yeah, I got to tell you the link. It is leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. It's a Patreon. You're probably familiar with that. So check it out. And if you can throw me a bone, I do appreciate it. leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. And what else? I'm just going to plug their tour again because you got to go to it. And it's starting really soon. It starts on February 7th in Phoenix and it runs right up to March. I believe it's 9th in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm going to try to hit up that show. And yeah, you're not going to want to miss it. Of Sulfur, Mental Cruelty, Ghost Bath, and Extermination Dismemberment. Anyway, let's get into it. Here is my conversation with Lucas of Mental Cruelty.
Hello?
Lucas, how's it going, man?
Hi, Shane. What's up? How you doing?
Dude, I'm fantastic. It's awesome to have you, man. I'm here with Lucas from Mental Cruelty. My dude, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for doing this. Lots of exciting stuff has been happening with Mental Cruelty, and a whole lot more is about to happen. Are you excited?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So first of all, thank you so, so much, Shane, for having me on this podcast. I'm really honored. I just told you before, it's absolutely awesome to be on the show. And yeah, there's much going on for Mental Cruelty right now since I joined the band. We dropped an album, Zwielicht, and
yeah.
So far the feedback has been great, and now it's just a few weeks until we hop on a tour with Of Sulfur, Extermination, Dismemberment, and Ghost Bath.
Yeah,
which is going to be like the first time for a long time the guys are going to be in the US, and like the first time for me being in the US. And I'm so excited. I'm really stoked, man.
Awesome. Well, the first thing, congrats on the record. This thing is a straight up masterpiece. One of the best records of the year, hands down. Probably my favorite metal record. I absolutely love this thing. But get ready. When you go to the US, no one is going to be able to say, I'll do my best. Zwielicht?
Yeah, but that was great. That was great. And yeah, thank you so much, man. I'm glad. I'm really glad you dig the record, man. That's awesome.
Yes. No. You're gonna hear a lot of Americans butcher that. They're gonna be like Zweilicht. You know, like, they won't know how to say it, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's German. It means twilight, kind of. It means like, because the record is like of something of like being between light and darkness and death and life, and that's why we choose twilight or Zwielicht, like the German word.
Right. So you're big fans of the movies, right? With the vampire and Edward.
Yeah, of course.
Are you team Edward or team Jacob? Is that important?
Yeah, of course. That's what we had in mind. And
I fucking forgot those movies existed, and I got dragged to them, you know, years ago, like by a girlfriend at the time, and man, they're bad. But like, they're, you know, sometimes you're just around, it's like on a TV somewhere, and I watched one of those movies for like 10 minutes and I couldn't believe how much even worse than I remember it is, like the acting, terrible green screens, like, man,
that's so funny.
Man,
it's so funny.
Time.
It's a little bit like I think they are like the old Star Wars prequels now, that people just watch them again in the movie theater, and every scene has become a meme so far, and like everybody is just speaking along or laughing their asses off because like every scene is so funny. But yeah, it's a classic.
It's true. Like that was an even weirder time for technology, right? Like in the, what was that, late 90s? Wild, man. Wild. Anyway, back to your band. Are you excited for America? I mean, you've never left Europe. You've never even traveled to the US for vacation or anything?
Oh, I actually did. I studied abroad like one semester in New York City.
And then
I had a few months in the US, and that was really exciting. But I guess it's like a whole lot of different story if you are on the road and if you like really visit the whole US and you visit different states and you get to know the different cultures of every state. So yeah, it's like, it's going to be like the first time for me really traveling the US, not like staying on one point, just studying. So yeah, it's I'm so excited because it's just a few weeks now until we jump on the plane.
Yeah.
And it really feels like a little bit Christmas, you know, you are excited. But you know, you cannot wait. But at the same time, it's so frightening because, yeah, we have so many destinations, and everybody did their best for everything to be set up perfect, like ordering merch, doing all the technical setup.
Yep.
And yeah, but I think we are on a really good track, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I'm excited for you guys to see it, and that's really interesting too that you brought up like how each state has, you know, like its own culture. Cause you know, I think a lot of Americans don't really think about that, or even outside people are like, oh, America doesn't have culture. It doesn't have, like, it's just, you know, hot dogs and hamburgers or whatever, you know, but they're wrong. And you're going to see that, you know, like you're starting the tour February 7th in Phoenix, Arizona, the Nile Theater. And you know, you're going to see that. You know, you're going to start out and you're going to see all like the desert and the cactuses and all that different kind of way of life. And then you're going to be going into places like Chicago and Detroit, big cities that are going to be fucking cold, you know, and then of course all the Midwest, and, you know, you'll probably stop at a Buc-ee's in Texas, you know,
I hope so, man.
All these like, you know, these things you get to see the different aspects of American life, which is I think going to be really exciting for you guys to see. And I hope you like Taco Bell, because you're probably gonna eat that.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, the guys love Taco Bell. We did the UK tour this year in September with Signs of the Swarm, and then they had Taco Bell for the first time, and they went crazy because they said, "Oh my gosh, it's so good!" I mean, like to be honest, I did not dig it so much, but maybe it's gonna grow. it's gonna grow on me when I'm in the US. But it's funny that you mentioned it, like the different cultures in the States, because we have like the same thing in Germany, but on a much smaller scale, kind of, because like if everybody's thinking of Germany, they think of Bavaria, mm-hmm. like all the mm-hmm. beer culture and the mountains and like Lederhosen and all this kind of stuff. But like you have Bavaria and you have Berlin, which is more like very urban and techno scene. And then you have Hamburg, which is like more like you have the ocean and it's like really rough people, more kind of. And so, yeah, and I'm excited to see the different cultures, like different states, and like Texas is, I guess, is going to be much more different than California or New York, for example. In New York, it was funny. Everybody was just busy and very busy. Everybody had like four or five jobs for paying rent, I guess.
That's right. No, that's right. Well, I'm excited for you guys to see it, and it's going to be a great tour. I spoke to Ricky yesterday. Of Solver. Great album they put out as well. And he's just a great dude. He's really excited for this too. And I asked him if he had any questions for you. And he thought about it for a little while. And then he said, yeah. Ask Lucas how he does all those badass noises. That's what he said. And I love that. I love that. And that would have definitely been in my list of questions anyway. But Ricky says hello. How are you doing all these badass noises?
Awesome. And it's so funny because it's so mutual, because like I would have asked him the same thing, because I really admire his vocals for a long time. Because I mean, like, Ricky is like an OG. He's been doing this kind of stuff like for such a long time. And funny thing is, we released today, like Off Software released a single called Hive Mind, which I did do a feature on.
Yeah.
So Ricky and I go berserk on a track together.
Yeah.
So how do I do these noises? I don't know. I've started vocals since I was 16, and I was like really self-taught. And I think because like doing it for such a long time, your voice gets really used to it, and you get physically very used to it. So I guess your body can start to do some shit and some stuff that you would never have guessed you can do.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's just a lot of years doing this. And the funny thing is, like, deathcore vocalists, they always have to do like weird stuff with their mouth and like really put their tongue in weird places. And it's all kind of a mess. And it's all really, I don't know, nerdy and technical kind of.
Yeah.
I guess Ricky and I, we're gonna talk a lot of like nerdy vocal shit when we meet each other, which I can't wait. It's going to be great to meet those legends from Off Solfa.
Yeah, man. No, totally. Yeah. Well, you know, this is the great thing about this podcast is like, because it's called Lead Singer Syndrome, we can talk about this nerdy vocal shit, you know, and it's amazing how often how not often. I talk about this stuff, like the technical vocals and stuff, because it really is amazing seeing, like, I watched, I think it was a one take video that you had on YouTube.
Oh yeah.
I forget which song it was, but you know, you're just there doing it. And I mean, it sounds just like the record, even though it's not doubled, which is kind of wild. And you don't even seem like you're breaking a sweat, man. Like you don't seem like you're really pushing too hard. Like it's kind of like you've figured out the technique to do all this stuff it looks fairly effortless, which I was really impressed, because I know on the record you spent long days doing vocals, and I was like, how does someone do singing for screaming whatever for 9 hours? That's a lot, you know.
Oh yeah, the recording process for Zwielicht, it was really hard. We did like 9 to 10 hours a day, because we just had like 1 week to record all the vocals, so it was really brutal. But I think we did it, and we succeeded in the end. And it's funny that you mentioned the vocal playthrough, because I kind of feel a little bit insecure about this video right now, because I see people commenting that I really don't have so much movement and so much emotion, and it looks like that I'm just doing this like casually. But the funny thing is, I have like a vocal booth built into my living room, and this thing is just 1 square meter.
Right.
So I don't really have room or oxygen to like really perform. Otherwise I would have like done much more, like to feel myself comfortable and like to to do much more, I don't know, vocal expression.
Right.
But it was just not possible because the vocal booth was so small. But yeah, I'm glad you dig the vocal playthrough. It is for Symphony of a Dying Star, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, but I'm so excited to do much more vocal playthroughs and after we come back from the US, maybe from an old track from MC or from another track from the new album. And I think I'm going to do this then in our rehearsal room where I have a little bit more room to go a little bit more berserk, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. You know, I don't agree with those people because for me, it's like maybe because I'm a singer or whatever, but I didn't think that was the point of it. The point of it is like to see what you do in a studio environment, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, sure, like, you know, you're bopping your head along to it a little bit, but like you're also focusing on what you're doing. Like it's a recording, you know? So it's not the same as live or whatever. So I didn't take it like that. And if people want to hear you, you know, do live videos, they, you know, there's some of those on YouTube too. So, you know,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think as a vocalist, and I'm really excited about your take about this, because I think as a vocalist, you have to be so good at multitasking because you have to do so much stuff at once. You have to remember the lyrics, which you kind of automated in your head a little bit, I guess, because then you just do it on autopilot, I think. So you have to like sing the lyrics, you have to remember the technique you're doing mm-hmm. for like mm-hmm. the different parts. Then you have to at the same time perform, like look into the audience and like cheering them up or do this and that. And I think as a vocalist, you have to do so much stuff at once. So that, yeah, you are a little bit, I don't know. Yeah. You have to be like a little bit multitasking kind of a dude.
No, it's, you're right, man. It's not easy, especially what you do, with your badass noises. Does your voice hold up okay on the road? I know you haven't done actually very much touring yet. You know, I know you did the UK tour with Signs of the Swarm. Shout out to my boy, David. And you know, you've done a few, you know, some things in Germany and stuff, but this is kind of going to be your first big, you know, long month long tour. I think since you've joined the band, are you at all nervous about kind of the health of it? Just, you know, on a nightly basis?
Oh yeah, I am. I'm really, to be really honest, I am. And I think like amongst us vocalists, that's something that we are really always stressing about because
yeah.
Like a guitarist has his guitar, but as a vocalist, you are the instrument kind of.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
You are the instrument. So you have to really look after yourself. And I'm really stressing about a little bit, but I think like the best thing to conquer this is just to prepare really well. So I'm just trying to be healthy and to buy some tea and just some stuff, some mints for your throat or anything else. I'm just grabbing everything I can get in Germany that helped me in the past. And yeah, in the UK, especially like after the third day, everybody got sick, of course, including yeah, me,
of course.
But I had so much luck that just like everything from the cold and from the cough, it did not really attack my voice so much. And like during the recording process of Zwielicht, where we did like 10 days of vocals, 10 hours straight up through, I saw that my vocals and all like these demon noises and everything is like really durable. So I'm really confident that it's going to be fine. And I think I'm going to make it. But of course, yeah, I'm really nervous. And I'm looking up videos and stuff of other vocalists and see what are their tips and tricks.
Right.
What kind of stuff do they buy in the US to help themselves during a cold? But yeah, good that you're pointing it out.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. It's pretty wild and it's not going to be easy, but
yeah.
Also it's going to be very cold, you know, some of those cities and not only just the cold, you know, in the north, but also just the change of temperature and the change of, you know, elevation, those kinds of things can really fuck with you too. So, you know,
do you have some good advice? What kind of tea should I get myself?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a big tea guy on tour, but, you know, everybody swears by the throat coat.
Throat coat, okay.
You know, that's the one everyone talks about. Yeah, I think, yeah, just staying hydrated as best as you can. And I take certain things, like I find these, I take a lot of like those Zicam, if I feel something coming on, they've got these, they're called Zicam lozenges. They're like zinc lozenges.
And it's funny because I already saw like Will Ramos talking about these things.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Yeah, they're great, and they have now they have these like new like nose spray ones too. Or not, it's actually not a spray, it's like a swab, kind of like when you were doing a COVID test, you do that and it's like got a it's got some kind of zinc, I don't know, formula on it. And I don't know, man, I started feeling a little tickle in my throat and I was like, oh no, this is the start of it. And I just stuck that up my nose and took some of those Zicam lozenges and some elderberry tea. That could be good. And I fought it off. You know, I fought it off for the most part, but
awesome.
Yeah, it's a struggle, man. It's a struggle. And I wish you the best of luck. Hopefully no snags.
Yeah. I'm writing all of this down right now. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna hook myself up when I come to the US, of course.
There you go. You got my number now too. You can text me and I can refresh your memory too, if you need a hand or whatever, man, no problem. So let's talk about this record again. I'm going to try to say it again. Swielicht.
Oh, perfect. That's great, all right?
Yeah. I've been to Germany a lot of times. I should know more German than I, or at least how to say words than I do. So this record, I mean, it is a total masterpiece. You know, it's your first album with the band. That's a lot of pressure on you. And it's the band's first album for Century Media. I mean, does it get any more legendary for a label than Century Media in metal? No, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. You really name it. It was like coming to the band as the new guy and then writing my own like first, like I'm not writing the whole record. I'm just writing the lyrics and like the flows to the music. And like, but the first record for the band for Century Media. So yeah, stakes were high. A lot of eyes were on us and a lot of high expectations. But like the feedback has been so great right now. I'm reading so many nice and long comments on Reddit of people who are liking the record for so many reasons. And it's just, it's just really awesome. And like some people calling it a masterpiece, it makes me so happy. It makes me so grateful and thankful for being part of this. And yeah, I'm just so happy that we could get this done and that this stuff, allows us to go around the world and like play for people who we love and who love us. And I'm getting emotional.
Yeah,
man.
No, it's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing. And you guys did just such a great job. How come you left all the vocals till the end though? Couldn't you have like peppered it in, done a day here, a day there? Like if you've got, I assume maybe you want to get a majority or all of the music done before you do some vocals, but leaving it all to the end, doesn't that make it very stressful for you?
I think, yeah, maybe I think next time we're going to do it a little bit differently, but maybe it was a kind of MC thing that they just leave the vocals to the end. But it was kind of, I took a week off from my job and I think I just had like this last week of vacation left, I think. So we said, yeah, let's just do the vocals last. And I think all of us had like really no idea how much time we still gonna spend on the vocals, because we were really like, we were so perfectionists and we really took so much time for every song. And if a take was not perfect, we re-recorded it. And it was exhausting, but everybody was on the boat of, okay, we want to make this absolutely perfect. So yeah, it was gnarly. Like in the end, I have some pictures of the guys just laying on the bed or on the couch, just staring into nothingness because they were really on the brink of burnout. It was so brutal. Like there's a funny story. Like, I mean, today, now it's funny. Back then it wasn't so much fun. Marvin was like in his car at like one of the last days of recording. And he had like his, what's the thing called when you want to take a turn and these lights, these clicker things, what are they called?
Turn signal.
Turn signal, genau. Yeah. And then he started his turn signal and it was just doing like, and not like a normal click would do. And he thought like his turn signals were broken because he had like the click in his head all the time, like from I don't know, recording PTSD. And he really thought, I'm shit you not, he thought his turn signals were broken. He was like almost like calling a technician or something. So yeah, it was gnarly. But yeah, now that we are so proud that we could get this done. And yeah, if you don't suffer for your art, I think it's worth nothing. So yeah.
Yeah. I love that too. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, you know, when I heard that you spent 9 days recording the vocals and you spent almost 10 hours, I was just really surprised, you know, basically let's just call it 90 hours of vocals. I don't know. For some reason in my head, recording, you know, guttural vocals, you know, because there's no pitch, you know, I guess there kind of is, but like, you know, a lot of it is, you don't have to worry about like, oh, that take, we have to throw that take away because it, you know, it's just a bit off in terms of pitch, you know, like it's all about the timing and the tone.
Yeah, kind of.
But you don't have to worry about the pitch. So it's kind of like if there's three elements, what I'm trying to say is like, if there's three elements to a traditional vocal, right? It's the performance, the timing, and the pitch, right? But when you don't have the pitch to worry about as much, at least, you kind of only have two out of three. So you'd think it would be easier, but maybe you guys are just psychos because I've heard you do it both on your one take playthrough, and I've watched some live YouTube videos too, and you sound so good that I'm surprised that you spent or you even needed to spend that much time.
Oh, thank you so much, man. Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of, we recorded, maybe, I don't know why it took so long until we said, okay, this is perfect and this is done. Maybe it was a timing thing. I don't like in hindsight, I don't think I fucked up so many timings that we had like go over and over the same thing again. Maybe it was just like, I don't know. But yeah, it's a good question. Yeah. In hindsight, I can't really answer that. Why it actually took so long? Because I think we finished a song a day, kind of. Some days we finished two songs, but maybe it's because the songs are so long. Well, like the most of songs are above 5 minutes. So
that's true.
Maybe it's that. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
Well, also in your genre, you don't have as many repeating parts too, right? Like it's not like traditional music where it's like, oh, okay, well, we have a chorus three times. We can copy and paste most of the vocals, you know, that's also a reality. Maybe people, probably a casual music fan doesn't realize that literally every band does that, but you know, but you don't have that as nearly as much in your music.
Yeah, true. Maybe it's because we, you have a lot of doubles, like because you're doing a double under this and that take, or maybe we changed something on the go and said, maybe it would sound much cooler if you would do the flow like this or like that. So yeah, I really don't know, but I'm happy with the result, to be honest.
All good, man. No, all good. I just really intriguing, but hey, doesn't matter how long it takes. It's all about the results, and that speaks for itself.
That's true. That's true, man.
Another cool thing you guys have been doing is some really awesome music videos too. And I know you've got some crazy stories for a bunch of them. It seems like you guys like to have an element of danger when you do music videos. Talk to me a little bit about that. And do you have a favorite?
Oh yeah, that's true. I mean, like I said a few minutes ago, like if you don't suffer for your art, it's like worth nothing. I mean, that's like a really kind of a little bit of a douchey statement, but like if you do like the video shoots, like we do them, and like a few days later, you feel so relieved and you feel so happy that it's over. But at the same time, you are so proud on the thing you've done. And like really my most favorite video is like the first one we put out there. It is for Symphony of a Dying Star, because we did shoot this video in the coldest winter possible. We drove to like a river where there were like little ponds that were completely frozen. And in hindsight, what we saw when we looked at the weather conditions, that it was the coldest day in the year. It was like minus 10 degrees Celsius. And like, don't even ask me how much that is in Fahrenheit, but it is really fucking cold. And I had like this costume that I was wearing. Like I was like looking like a little bit like a ghost or a white priest, like with white garments around me and around my face. And I was just breaking through the ice, and I was like testing it the day before just to see if I would like, go into shock or if I would like feel my hands or something like that. And it was so brutal. Like I could not keep my hands under the water like longer than 10 seconds. So I
can't even imagine.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was like somebody was like putting your hands between two rocks and like sitting on them. It was unbearable. So the day before I was driving to like a diving shop and I asked them, okay guys, I need a wetsuit and I need some, I need some hand shoes that are also like wetsuit garment or kind of thing. And, they hooked me up with something and then it was kind of bearable. But yeah, we were shooting like from like 4 o'clock in the morning until like in the evening when the sun was setting. So I was like in the cold water all the day. And another stupid thing that we did not realize was that my costume was like this white cloth and I had some iron shackles around my hand. And then
sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, really bad idea when you jump into the water. I guess you can imagine what happened next because I was like going down the water and then I had like this wet cloth on my face. And of course, I was like kind of waterboarding myself. And I could not really talk to the guys and say, hey guys, can like somebody take this off me because I could not take the breath to tell them. And the funny thing, like the second funny thing is I had like these iron shackles and some of these iron shackles got stuck on some rocks down the pond. So I could not really go up that much. And I had like this cloth on my face and it was so stupid and dangerous on so many ways. But like now, now afterwards, when I look at this video, I think, yeah, man, that is sick.
Right. But yeah, but you're the only one, like when you watch that video, you see it in a totally different way than anybody else that watches it because you're the one that experienced minus 10 Celsius, which is 14 degrees Fahrenheit for the American listeners. That's absolutely wild, man. And one thing about that video too, is that in that one, you're not wearing any kind of like face paint, like corpse paint or anything like that. But in some of the other ones you are. And I found that interesting because I think the first two I watched were the one where you almost like, looks a little bit like King Diamond. And then the other ones, you know, looks like you got like blood or something on your face.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I wondered like if that was something, like when I first saw it, I was like, oh, do these guys like wear makeup? Like, do they do this on tour? Do they do this live? Then I saw this video and was like, okay, maybe that's just for the video. So I wondered if that was like something that you guys incorporated into your live performances, you know? But it seems like you don't.
Yeah, it's now we don't. It's like funny that you asked the question because like Dave from Signs of the Swarm during the UK tour told me, yeah, man, you should wear the war paint live, dude. that would look sick. And I think maybe some fans would dig it too. And maybe I think we're going to do it for some, I don't know, Halloween shows or maybe. Oh, yeah. Or maybe we're gonna incorporate into our live set. But we did it for the live videos because it kind of just to fit the vibe because like the war paint, the Viking war paint was for Norlys, which is like Norwegian for Northern Lights. And it is about like Viking mythology and all this kind of stuff. So it really did fit the vibe kind of that everybody has like Viking war paint and we're setting a field on fire and like go really berserk kind of. And for the Forgotten Kings video where we all wear the corpse paint, this is like the most black metal song on the album. And like I see people discussions from people on Reddit and like discussing if the album is still deathcore or if it's black metal. And yeah, we really wanted to incorporate like this black metal kind of vibe in Forgotten Kings, like by really wearing corpse paint and really like feel these Dimmu Borgir or Behemoth vibes. And to be really honest, it was like a dream from all of us just to like rock the corpse paint one time.
It looks so sick.
It was the best opportunity to do it. So it was kind of to fit the vibe of the songs, to be honest.
I think it's awesome. And you guys have some big European stuff coming up, specifically in your home country of Germany. You guys are doing Empiricon this year. That's super awesome.
Oh, yeah. We are so excited. We're going to play along like legends like SLA Dying or August Burns Red. And we do the Empire Con Festival. We also going to do like Summer Breeze Festival or the Dynamo, where also Behemoth is going to play. Or is it Demo Borgia? I have it. I have to look it up again to see. But yeah, we're going to play festivals that are featured by Behemoth and Demo Borgia. And it's these guys are so such legends, and I'm so excited to share like the stage with them. And it's so great. Yeah, it's a lot of big stuff coming up for the summer 2024.
Yeah, it's super super exciting. Everybody needs to check out this record. Everybody needs to check out this band. I'm telling you right now, don't miss this, because yeah, you guys are traveling a long way to do this. You're probably not going to be, you know, like Signs of the Swarm, they're from what, Pittsburgh? They're going to be touring the US often, you know, most likely, but maybe not with Mental Cruelty. So yes, people need to get on that. Dude, what people else? Tell me, man, before I let you go, get on with your, I guess it's evening in, what is it, like 7:30 p.m. out there?
Exactly. Yeah, it's 7:30 p.m.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for taking the time, man, tonight. Anything else to tell the people, though, before I let you go?
First of all, that's really no biggie, man. I'm so excited and I'm so honored to be like on the podcast with you. When I was talking to some of my friends and I said, yeah, man, I'm going to talk to the lead singer of Silver Scene, man, they went crazy. They said, whoa, he's a legend, dude. And so, yeah. Thank you so much for having me. And I think you asked me to say just one last thing, right?
Yeah, I don't want to leave anything out. So if there's anything, you know, that you need to tell the people, please go ahead.
Yeah. So yeah, first of all, like for everybody. So thank you. First of all, saying thank you so much for having me on. And thank you so much for everybody for like loving Zwielicht and for all the great feedback and for like welcoming me with open arms to the band. And for everybody in the US, come to the tour. See us and Of Sulfur and Extermination, Dismemberment and Ghostbath. This is such a great lineup. It's going to be absolutely crazy. I mean, like me and Ricky doing vocals together, maybe. I mean, like, check it out. It's going to be an absolute inferno. And as we are from Europe, from Germany, we're not going to have like the opportunity to come to the US like three times a year.
Right.
So yeah, take the chance and check us out.
That's right. Yeah, no, I just realized how international this tour is too, right? With you guys from Germany, Extermination, Dismemberment from Belarus.
Yeah.
And Ghostbath, they're not actually from China, but I remember when they came out, everybody thought they were, when they were like this new secret band, everyone thought they were from China, but no, I think they're from North Dakota or something. But I do love the lineup, and I'm going to try to be there at the Las Vegas date.
Oh, awesome, man. Awesome. That's going to be great, man. I'm excited to meet you.
Absolutely, Lucas. My guy, thanks so much. Do you got a favorite track from the record I can play?
Oh, yeah. Like Symphony of a Dying Star, still like one of my favorites. It's
Symphony
just
of a Dying
it's just
Star.
The power metal track.
I love it. Symphony of a Dying Star. Here it is on Lead Singer Syndrome. Thanks so much, Lucas.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much, Shane. Thank you so much.
So there is new music from Mental Cruelty. The album, I'm going to say it again, Swelitched. It is out now, everybody. One of the best records of the year, hands down. This thing is awesome. If you're a fan of, I don't even know what to call it, symphonic blackened deathcore, maybe? I don't know what we're calling this music exactly, but does it matter? It's heavy. It's badass. It's scary. This is such a well-recorded record too. I love the production on this thing. So yes, check it out. If you're into heavy stuff, it will not disappoint. It's kind of like banger after banger. And what a nice guy too, right? Man, I love this guy, Lucas. This is the best. I want to thank him so much for being on the show. And make sure that you guys do not miss the tour featuring Mental Cruelty, as well as co-headliners of Sulfur and guests Ghost Bath and Extermination Dismemberment. Thank you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. If you're new to the podcast, if this is your first time listening, maybe you're a metalhead. I could see that happening. Go back and, you know, check out some of the other metal guests I've had on the show. I had David from Signs of the Swarm on not too long ago. I had George Corpse Grinder Fisher also on the program a while back. It's a great interview with him and tons. So feel free to get in touch with me if you want to suggest some more metal guests, because I just love this genre and I love talking to people that are just a little bit outside of what I do to really understand vocally just what goes into it, because it is pretty crazy. Thanks so much. Until next week, peace and love. See you soon.